back to the rest of the order here and take up the ONI packages when Amalia is ready. There she is. Good afternoon. After that big panel, you get to be here all by yourself for a while.
I would love for people to join me.
All right, Mike Abate is going to moral support from the Parks Bureau is kind of coming. So push the button there, Amalia, and then tell us about.
You ready for me?
Yes, please.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to come before you to talk about the ONI budget. ONI's mission is to promote a culture of civic engagement by connecting and supporting all Portlanders, working together and with government to build inclusive, safe, and livable neighborhoods and communities. Our total base budget is just over $7 million. You all got a handout before this last presentation that you could reference. The first page beneath the cover has a chart that sort of shows where our money goes right now. And if you'll look at the tallest part of the graph at the beginning, that's our civic engagement programs, and those are the most core to what we do. So we have decided, we went through a process where we had over 50 community members and staff people together involved in determining what our priorities were and what we would turn into you all as our requested budget. The first thing I want to say is that we were all very excited to have a stabilization budget year so that we didn't have to talk about reductions. So that is first and foremost. We have turned into you our budget packages divided into three sections. The first one is our highest priority packages. And then the other two are hopeful, but at the same time really wanting to inform council and advisors of the direction in which ONI and its partners is moving in terms of the things that we want to ensure that we have for the Bureau moving forward. So the other thing I also wanted to say is that a lot of our things, our packages are tied to Complete Neighborhoods, but they're also tied to equity. And so I'll be talking a little bit about that as we go forward. Let's see. So our priority one packages, which are underneath that chart that you just looked at in the blue, are for our diversity and civic leadership partners, for our neighborhood grants, and for the Multnomah Youth Commission. So the equity piece, one of our biggest equity challenges in ONI right now is funding equity. All of our partners are underfunded, and some more seriously than others. And so the diversity and civic leadership ask actually helps to take a baby step towards moving that program closer to parity, sort of the starting line. So we're not actually talking about equity yet. It's just moving them a little closer to commensurate funding to our other partners. Our neighborhood grants are our hands down number one best practice for community engagement. And so this requests a restoration of that for our neighborhood coalitions. And those funds leverage about three times the amount of money we invest. So in a year that we invested $200,000, it leveraged over $600,000 worth of other funds, in-kind and volunteer hours contributions. And then the Multnomah Youth Commission is a program that we got in our budget last year. We worked very hard to reorganize our budget in order to create a position to help staff that because we did not have in-house capacity among our existing staff expertise. But there was a small line item that was materials and services for that, which goes towards supporting the work and the activities of the Youth Commission. We did not notice until this year that that was one-time dollars. And so we are asking for ongoing dollars to support the work of the Youth Commission. And those three things together add up to about $365,000, and those are our very top priority packages. In addition to that, in terms of our one-time request, East Portland Action Plan, again, talking about that funding equity component, is one of our key asks. And then the Kenton Firehouse and retrofitting that facility to be accessible, ADA accessible, is our second ask for one-time dollars. We talked about it on Tuesday during the equity session. And basically, there's one, Kenton is one of two meeting facilities, community meeting places in North Portland. And right now, people with mobility impairments would have a very hard time getting in, and there's no usable bathroom. So we would need to fix both those things. And in addition, there's going to be a spring bump request for you all to consider, council to consider, trying to move forward some current money that we have into next year so that we could do the Kenton fix, understanding that the budget for next year is very tight. Let's see. In terms of our second tier packages, we also are looking to connect all of these packages are connected, or many of them are connected to equity through civic engagement programs. So in our second tier, we have a project for the disability program to work with PBEM to expand emergency preparedness efforts for people with disabilities who cannot self-evacuate in case of an emergency or a natural disaster. We have a leadership academy, a request for a leadership academy for people with disabilities through the Connecting Communities Coalition. We have an age-friendly city request from Elders in Action and restoration of funds for us to be able to do translation and interpretation for our grantees, which we lost a few years ago and repeatedly has been requested. In addition to that, it has some pieces around overtime for our crime prevention staff. Currently, we have $10,000 total annual budget for overtime for about 12 staff people. So it ends up being something like an hour a month per person of overtime. And most of the work that they do is evening work. So we're woefully underfunded in that area. And that's in our second tier requests. And then our additional packages that we've included, and these are packages that were requested by community partners, so we're bringing them before council so that you become familiar with them, are things in the one-time dollars, an additional equipment for our noise program, one additional noise meter, and the DCL partners. There's a couple of different organizations that have approached us asking us to expand our DCL partnership and include them. One is APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, and the other one is the Russian Speaking Network. And so in having these conversations about expanding the DCL program, we spoke about the necessity to take our program evaluation, which we're just now completing, and bringing that forward to the community to have a conversation about the structure of that program and whether the current structure we have is the right one, or whether what we've learned over time dictates that we need to shift the structure, and what the right level funding is for DCL partners before we would request from council additional funds to bring on new partnerships within the DCL program, which is something we're very interested in doing. And there's a list of about 30 different organizations that have asked at one time or another when that's going to happen because they'd like to join. I think that's all I have. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. Or
I just wanted to say that I appreciate you bringing up the issue of APANO and other organizations asking to be included. Personally, I think that APANO is a very significant organization representing a very significant constituency.
Yes.
And if it were possible, I would like to see them added to the program even before you've done an evaluation, because we are going to fund other organizations while the evaluation is ongoing. And I think that APANO is a kind of distinctive omission at this point.
Yes, we agree with you. They were very much involved not just in our back process, but as members of the steering committee for the back process as well this year. So we agree.
So about how much do we allocate to each of our current five diversity and the civic leadership partners?
About 82,000.
So it's at Apano would be mm-hmm. that much.
Yep.
I have a question about the community and neighborhood involvement restoration in Tier 2 of 23,000 to support translation and interpretation and meeting needs. And the community summit, is that in relation to the 40th anniversary of neighborhood
Correct.
Involvement?
Correct, it is.
That would be fun. Does it also include the, no, it's one-time funding, right? Or is that ongoing?
No, this would
That's
be ongoing.
Ongoing. Does that include the money for the Spirit of Portland
it
Awards?
Does. It does.
As I heard from council offices that coming around with our hat in our hands.
Yes, that was
isn't
not
a preferred method
the preferred
of funding,
method
but we
of funding, yeah.
don't have the funding for it. So how much about is that, 4,000, 5,000?
Yes, about 4,000.
And that's included in that 23?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Madam Director, let me build on a couple of those points. East Portland Action Plan, which I strongly support, it seems like every year a question comes up about what's the timeline?
Mm-hmm.
When can we say that we've declared success in phase
yes.
one? So can you remind us what the time, what the horizon is for this particular enterprise?
Well, so we are actually engaging in a conversation about that with the East Portland Action Plan Committee. And so there are some components of what East Portland Action Plan does that have implications for sort of permanent implementation. There are some things that are very discrete, short-term, immediate, and there are some things that are longer-term but finite. We don't have a specific answer as to what the horizon is, but we're having some conversations. I'm looking at Laura Wintergreen, who is our coordinator for East Portland Action Plan, who's here.
I would say part of the difficulty of the plan when it was first instituted by Planning and Sustainability, of the 268 action items, the majority were projected to be completed in 2 years. That is the issue of council and your bureaus, because the predominance of those action items were to be accomplished by your bureaus. So the issue has been the community advocating and working proactively in prioritizing those action items, and as I've heard said today, talking about Powell Boulevard, drawing those issues to the forefront and facilitating conversations and partnerships with that. So EPAP every year sets priority project list. They come meet with you and discuss that. When you're looking at when will this be completed, Katie Larcel used to be a co-chair, and would you like to speak to that?
It seems to me that it should end when East Portland has equity with the rest of the city of Portland.
Well, let me just say this. I have a little hunch that this is going to get funded this year, but I think the council is going to want to know this is one-time funding. And so
right.
we're going to get perilously close at some point to serial one-time. And I just...
Yes.
I'm not asking the question because I want to say that I think it has to cut off next year or the year after. I'm just actually
yes.
asking the question in terms of what's the long-term thing? Because at some point, for example, the council could say they don't want to use serial one-time money. They want to fund something
Correct.
On a more permanent basis or a scaled-back version or whatever. That's
yes.
That's actually
yes.
what I was going to say, that if we did make the East Portland Action Plan money ongoing and then the East Portland Action Plan evolved into something else in partnership with the East Portland Neighborhood Office, that would about bring parity for East Portland in terms of the per capita funding for the neighborhood
right.
system.
Right, not equity,
there.
But parity.
Yes.
Yes.
So that I would very much support putting it in as an ongoing.
And I would love to just have those options. I'd like to understand
yes.
those options better because I strongly support at minimum another year, and I want to know what
yes.
other options?
Yes, so we are engaging in those conversations. As you can tell, it's a complicated issue. So I do think that the idea of how it is sustainable is an important question to ask, because obviously the work of it is very critical.
Two other just comments. One is, in your presence, I just want to say the Resolutions Northwest folks did a superb job at our first utility rate hearing. And I mean, we take for granted the quality of their work. I go back to the work they did around the JTTF, the mm-hmm. first community forum we had, and so many other things. But
thanks, Lord.
They are without peer, in my experience, in helping facilitate public meetings, make sure people are heard, help us stay on task. So I'd like to know a little bit more about what the $20,000 gets us and what are some of those facilitation services. But I think they've made fans of the council in terms of the value mm-hmm. they provide. I just need to know a little more detail about what that will get us. And then we did adopt the Age-Friendly Portland Action Plan within the last 6 months. And is the $50,000 staff person at Elders in Action to cover the coordination of what part of the plan?
Yes, they'll be coordinating Age-Friendly Portland-related activities through Elders in Action for the city.
For the city?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where we would park the overall coordination of each of these things, and then that person would conceivably be serving as liaison to some of the bureaus
right.
that have initiatives they've identified they're going to proceed
yes.
on? Okay, thank you.
Questions for Amalia? And you covered all three tiers? Okay, yep, good.
Did I?
I think so.
Let me know if I missed anything.
Okay. Good, thanks very much.
All right, thank you all.